one big family with more than 20 locations serving only the St. Louis region. So come on,
lift local with us.
Club Fitness, the right fit for everybody. Join by April 30th for just $1. See club for details.
Biggie's Restaurant and Bar has been a staple of the community for over 27 years. At Biggie's, they pride themselves on service and great food. They make all of their dressings, marinades, and pasta sauces in-house. Try Biggie's famous fried chicken every Thursday or Sunday. Biggie's has what you are looking for this Lenten season. Come out every Friday during Lent for Jack Salmon and Stuffed Flounder. Located at 3332 Watson Road, check them out online at biggiesrestaurant.com.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular schedule roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Mmm, smells good.
Thanks. I picked up a Tuscan herb marinated tenderloin from Hatfield at Schnucks on my way home.
Huh, Hatfield?
They're new in town and are all about raising pork right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They put a pledge to it right on the packages of all the varieties of marinated pork tenderloins, loin fillets, and ribs they offer.
Oh, that's great. But there's a problem.
What?
It's not on the table yet.
Oh. Find better pork for your family at your local Schnucks.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
All right, so this is going to get really, really interesting, right? So apparently, according to Tim's vote, thank you very much, Tim, because Dan had no faith in me. I'm what? Quarterbacking this show. So I just saw on my little screen here that apparently Franco Pinion is on the cell phone. So I'm gonna put this level up. And hopefully this is... Just hang on a second, Dan. All right? Just hang on a second. Mr. Opinion, are you there, sir?
You are correct.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, how did that
all
work?
Right, praise Jesus. Okay, now hang on a second.
It worked because I'm on the phone. For anybody who wants to know what's going on here, this is really rare. From time to time, I have to leave. I have to. And when I'm gone, rather than just not do the show, I make arrangements to do it for somewhere else, and I'm out of town. So there's a piece of equipment. This is highly technical. It's called Comrex Brick, B-R-I-C. And it decided to just crap out, apparently. I mean, it won't light up, nothing. So... without it, we're screwed. And we are in the process now of having somebody get to where I am and replace this piece of equipment, which will not happen probably until tonight. And they'll get it fixed, and then, of course, I'll be back in the seat in the studio right after that. It's hard to explain, and I apologize. There's nothing we can do about it. I didn't even know it went out until, Limey, you sent me a text. You go, hey, we can't hear you.
Yeah, you just...
We had this happen last week because there was a little glitch momentarily last week, but this looks like it's now just decided to roll over and die. And there's nothing you can do about it. Now, I don't think doing a show on the phone is a good idea.
John Hadley does it.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
Even when he's on the phone, he sounds like he's on the phone.
Yeah, but he sounds better when he does it that way.
We do have Johnny Landoff for the other line, so I'm going to go ahead and just pot him up real quick. That's technical term for raising his levels. Mr. Landoff, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm great. I'm fantastic. In fact, Franco, great to hear your voice too, buddy.
Hey, we're on a conference call. This is fantastic. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not actually on the air, but we have like a major equipment malfunction here where I am. So,
John sounds better than you do.
You are on the air, and you are, well, Dan, please don't say that. I mean, how can you say that to your boss, buddy? What are you, crazy, Dan?
Oh, I didn't know he could hear me.
Yeah,
no, get
you know. You're close to Friday, payday. So, yeah, Frank, he didn't mean that. Dan did not mean that at all, okay? You do not,
you do not
sound better than me. You sound much better. I mean,
I sound like I'm on a phone, which I am. So, John, okay, I might as well just hang on here and chat with you a little bit. How's everything?
Everything's good. Everything's good. You know, the business is great. Everyone's ever super, super busy in service, and sales are great. And this is just a great time of year. You know, let's face it, we had a brutal winter. And let me just tell you, AM of the PM crowd, when you've got 700 or 800 plus cars and trucks, 115 employees, and you get snowstorms like we had, it's not fun. It's just not fun. And, it's expensive to clear all that junk off of the cars, and hats off to the unbelievable teammates of Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, because I don't push snow off of cars any longer. I did. Growing up, I did. And I don't work the snow plow. I did growing up, but not any longer. And they do. So we love this time of year. I do not want to hear anyone ever, please do not complain about the heat that we're about to come upon, which I think is great. To me, the hotter the better, and the deals are always hot at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. How about that? I learned that segue from you, Frank.
That's good. That's good.
It's all good. Dan and I were talking a little earlier about the Blues, and I don't want to talk about them, but I just brought them up because they lift you up and then they take you down. It's not over. Best of seven is tied 2-2, and maybe they're going to have to play better on the road and then come back. And win it at home. But I can tell you this much. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, we are ready for the onslaught of the AM and the PM crowd, Frank.
Well, better be. Well, you better be. Because they've never let you down.
You don't sound too excited.
Well, I'm staring at this thing. I'm mad at this piece of equipment. I'm staring at it, hoping that, you know, like telepathically, if I stare at it, it'll light up and come on.
It'll get
mad.
It's not working.
Not working.
Well, just concentrate on me, buddy. Come on. I'll lift your heart up.
Look over this way.
That'll fix everything. Hey, I don't yet have an offer because I asked for a lot of money to start. That's $3,000 on our nine and dying thing. But I do think we still have 4 weeks. I think I'll get it. I think I'll get at least that. I hope so.
I hope so too, because we'll have a great time. It'll be a lot of fun, and of course, it's for a great, 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 great charity, great organization, great organization. And again, the Window World people, they're phenomenal, but it's all good. Great day here at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Just about it. Really, knock on wood, every day is a pretty great day at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. You can't let yourself get down, folks. Always be up. Always look for the bright side of life. You know? Even when you're...
There's a song, what's the movie Jack Nicholson sang that in? Always look on the bright side
of your life. Yeah, that was as good as it gets.
Do you know who wrote the song?
No.
Eric Idle.
Wow.
Yeah, look from Monty you. Python.
One of the founding members of Monty Python. And
wow,
I've been a Monty Python fan my entire life. Then I turned my sons on to it when they were young. Mimi was not very happy because some of the earlier episodes there was a little bit of nudity, but there was a lot of comedy, and their movies are just. But to read Eric Idle's book, which my son Sam Landoff bought for me about a year ago, he talks all about how he wrote that song, you know, for I think the Life of Brian movie.
Yeah, it was. They sang it at the end when Brian is being crucified. The guy next to him is just like, eh, look on the bright side. And they start singing that song.
How about that?
Does anybody know any more of it than just always look on the bright side?
Yeah, but they kind of start cussing a little bit in. So, you know, when life is full of something and you don't want none of it, you know, always look on the bright side of life. Eric?
If you like to read books, I mean, I love to read the whole family. I mean, Mimi can read, like, you know, two books, three books in a week, okay? I'm like, you know, maybe a book in a month. Maybe 3 weeks at the shortest. But it's a great book. Eric Idle's a great, great, great book, and very funny. If you're at all a Monty Python fan, and if you're a funny person like you, Frank, you might...
I'm hilarious. I'm really hilarious today. I'm in a real good mood now.
Well, you should be in a good mood, because you know why?
Why?
You got Team Londoff on your side, buddy. That means
all right.
A lot.
Yeah.
All right,
but, yeah, buddy.
Team Londoff needs to get going. We need to go and all see right. Some more... Make some transportation dreams come true. So give us a call, 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800, 24/7, 365 at Londoff.com. And have a great rest of the show, kids.
Yeah, it'll sure be great. Thank you, John.
I'm including that you as a kid, Frank. Even
oh,
you're eight.
Oh, all right. Thank you, John. Thank
bye
you.
Bye, sir.
All right. So now this is the part where... we have to figure out what we're going to do here. Here's what I think we're going to have to do. Dr. Doug, you guys can take the phone calls to Dr. Doug. When it comes time for the Playhouse, I don't know. I don't want to go through my little story. You guys can do the Burke segment or whatever. And then I can tell the joke. Oh, you know what? Can I do a first community thing right now?
Yes,
just so we
please
don't get
do.
Too far behind. Okay, so here's the deal, everybody. Home improvement, like a new deck or a sunroom or whatever, any kind of home improvement, addition to the house. If you don't have the money, it's called a home equity line of credit. First Community Credit Union, if you're a homeowner, would be happy to give you that line of credit. You may not even need it all. Let's say you get a $40,000 line of credit, you only need $25,000. Okay, fine. You didn't use it. You only pay for the money that you actually borrow at a really ridiculously low rate, especially for the first 12 months. For the first 12 months, there's an introductory rate. Now, before I quote that rate, I'm walking while I'm talking. I want to go take a look and make sure that I have the rate right, because as soon as I mess that up, I know it's under 3%. It's like 2.9-something%. So hang on, I'll tell you exactly what it is. The interest rate... for the first 12 months after you get that home equity line of credit is 2.49% APR, even a little lower than I thought it was. I was going to say 2.9 something. 2.49% APR for the first 12 months on that home equity line of credit. First Community Credit Union, do all my banking there. Don't forget about the wedding loans. In 2.5 weeks, I have to go out to Vegas, and I have to see where the wedding is going to be and walk through with my daughter and meet the person that's going to fix the food or whatever. And it's not an Elvis Chapel wedding, but it's not a big elaborate wedding either. But if you have one of those coming and you need to borrow some money, they do have a wedding loan at First Community Credit Union. And now's the weather for the boaters and the motorcyclists, and they love to make loans to help people buy boats and motorcycles. First Community Credit Union, you can find out more at firstcommunity.com. Now, I'm going to leave, because I've got to get on the phone and I got to talk to an engineer, and then I got to sweat and then worry about getting whatever we have to get done so that we're back on the air, you know, in time tomorrow. So Limestone, what we could do, I have my phone.
Okay.
You call me. I will come back in here in the 5 o'clock hour. You guys kick around whatever you want to kick around, and then I'll come in and tell a joke. You talk to Mike Evans, and the next thing you know, it's over. So
love
let's
it.
Do it that way. What do you say? Okay.
Plan of action.
Sorry, everybody. This is just one of those things that happens. I for reasons I'm not going to go into, because everybody has their stuff. I'm not able to be there, and I have to be somewhere else. But it'll all get worked out. And be nice to these guys and call for Dr. Doug, and I'll talk to you later. Okay.
All right. Talk to you in a bit, Sam.
Woo!
All
right, there we go. Let me hit his music.
That's how we always end a phone call. It's and Mike Evans started that by just going.
That's just a tradition. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have Dr. Doug. He's brought to you by somebody. I couldn't tell you right now because
Window
I'm trying
World.
To sweet sneeze. There you go. Dan, give us a Window World
Dr.
commercial.
Dr. Doug is brought to you by Window World. Your
okay.
number one replacement window in the entire universe.
Wow.
And now, without any further ado... I thought there was something else I was going to say, but I don't have...
Your brain just kind of spaced
anything,
for a little second.
No, I don't have anything in front of me about...
All right, well,
World.
I know they're the official window of Paul and the St. Louis Blues.
Yes, they are. That's true.
Let's hear it for Dr. Doug. We've had better days, Dr. Doug. Not going to lie, we've had better days.
We've kind of got thrown into the wolves here with the with some technical issues.
We're a little bit in the deep end here, but it's okay. Yeah.
Did we get the numbers out yet? Probably not.
Probably not.
Whoa, listen to you.
I know, right? This guy knows. All right. So we've got 855-282-8255. That's one of them. The other one, Lord help me now, it is 314-820-0590.
No. 821-0590.
See, I never give out the phone numbers. Right now I'm just sitting here being quiet, playing on
you
Tinder.
You want to host a show, you got to have the phone numbers.
314-821-0590.
Write them on your hand.
821-0590.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Call that number now.
Dr. Doug, what have you got for us this week? And is Jack on the line here?
Yes,
is Jack, he waiting is for Dr. Doug?
Jack called early to talk to Dr. Doug.
So. All right, fan-bloody-tastic. Here we go. Jack, you're on the phone with Dr. Doug. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
I'm great. Pleasure to talk to you. I have a dog problem, and I wanted to get your advice on it. I have a six-year-old West Highland White Terrier. Perfect dog. We've had three of them. But for the last 30 years, we've had two dogs, and we had to put one down a year and a half ago. And I am thoroughly enjoying down to one dog for travel and everything. It's just much simpler. My problem is my wife wants a second dog, and the problem is that this six-year-old has suddenly decided that she does not like small toddlers and babies around her, and we have grandchildren. And I have to keep her away from her. My question to you is, my wife is convinced if we... Yeah. I threw that out. That didn't go over very well. My wife is convinced that socialization, she gets this off all the dog channels, is what this dog needs with another dog. I don't want to go to two dogs. Is there any truth to the fact that having a second dog will reduce that problem I've got with my six-year-old Westie?
You know, I think it's definitely a real consideration. I'm not a behavioralist by training, but I have in my career, 36 years plus as a veterinarian, it's usually the Westies, we always see them in pairs. So I don't know if that's just something that humans created as a request or desire, but we do generally see them in pairs, and I'm thinking it might deter your dog from focusing on the babies and stuff in a negative way. In fact, might encourage her to want their attention. So, but there's a gamble there because no one knows for sure, and you wouldn't know until you committed to a puppy.
My girlfriend Sandy had Westies before, and she had them in pairs. She had two of them.
Pretty characteristic, and I don't know again if it's something that humans just created, but Westies and some of the other little terrier breeds seem to come in twos a lot of times.
Well, she's a perfect dog. I mean, a perfect dog. I couldn't ask for a better dog. It just came up about 6 or 8 months ago, and I can't have that. I can't not have my granddaughters around and my grandbabies and friends' grandbabies. So I got so used to having one dog. I'm really enjoying it. I'm fighting for my life to not get a second dog.
Does the dog go crazy over other dogs when it's around? When other dogs are around?
A little bit, but it's things that are her size, or you know, little toddlers and babies that crawl up to her and pull themselves up onto the couch where she's at. I've had to keep her kenneled, and she's a great kennel dog. They are perfect dogs. Let me ask you this, doctor. We had a Westie first, and then we got a second Westie, and then when our first Westie died. The second Westie was a little snippy. She was a little older, about 10, and when we got the current Westie we have, it solved her problem of being sniffy. So that's why my wife is convinced that it'll happen again. So I just wanted your opinion on it.
Yeah, again, I'm not an expert in that field, but I would say if there's some way, you could, I don't know how you could do this, but you could do a trial period and see how it goes. But the other thing is, if this behavior continues and you don't get another dog, you got to jump on it right away. And it's really tough. Those little dogs are kind of high strung, real smart. And, you know, if a baby comes up or a young child and just kind of grabs, it's not unusual for them to bite out. You know, technically, they're not trying to be aggressive. They're just responding to what they don't want to deal with, right?
So
this is a tough question. I'd sit down and I'd say, okay, well, we can deal with two dogs. And the other point that might work, it sounds crazy, but this might be crazy reasoning, but if you were to get the extra dog and train it with your grandkids and stuff growing up as a puppy, if, God forbid, the six-year-old doesn't work out, you could have a replacement in place and you might have to find a home for the six-year-old, but at least you'd have a dog in the house and you have a dog that was kind of accustomed to the children. That's just another way to think about it.
Our current dog was raised with little ones around, so you know, it's just now that she's about six, something snapped, and other than that, she's a perfect, sweet dog, and I won't have it. I'm pretty strict with them. You know, you don't beat your dog or anything, but she's disciplined and she minds and she's perfect except for that one thing. So, well, I think we're gonna have to get another dog.
That's a significant thing. I totally agree.
Yes, sir.
So, as much as I love dogs, I always put the humans first.
Absolutely. They are an animal. People forget that sometimes. So.
Yeah. Well, good luck with your trial. I wish we could have something more definitive for you.
Hey, thanks for your help. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Jack. Yeah. It's a miracle.
What?
It's a miracle. Yeah. It's a miracle. Here's the deal,
it's
folks.
A miracle.
Cross your fingers, because I could go out at any second. This thing could go bad. I jiggled some wires over and over and over, and the light came on. So
don't touch anything anymore.
Yeah, right.
I'm not even going to breathe on it. Dr. Doug, how are you?
Good. How are you?
And don't hit the table, because we think you hit the table. We could hear you hit the table, and as soon as you did that,
it was
boom,
gone.
No.
Also,
that should have nothing.
Not to rub anything. It in, but Dr. Okay. Doug did not say that he was AM in the PM.
I am in the PM.
There we go.
Wow, had to remind him.
You can't judge me till the end of the show, and I have to be the director of that issue.
He has rules.
I
have
to. Just now.
Dan, I'm gonna type you a quick test word here.
I was typing you something here. Yeah, I sent something for you.
Can I talk a little bit while you guys?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. This will take 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. So, you know, it's springtime, or it's kind of springtime. One day it's winter, one day it's spring. But I want people that like to get their dogs out, you know, all the things we talk about every spring when you start cleaning out your garage or your basement. There are a lot of chemicals, pesticides, things that come out of there that you don't even think about as being potentially dangerous, but they can be. If you start draining your radiator and you want to get that ethylene glycol, the antifreeze out of there, don't forget that it tastes very sweet. Dogs and cats lick that, and it can cause pretty quick kidney disease and failure. So it's just an alert to everybody. Watch your P's and Q's when you start cleaning, okay?
Okay.
All right.
It's okay with me.
I think it's a good note.
All right. Dan's shooting me. Okay, I'm back in business here. Roxanne, thank you for calling. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Roxanne, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. What can I help you with?
So my son has a husky. She's almost two. And a few weeks ago, and this is not the first time it's happened, she throws up and she has diarrhea.
Oh, boy.
Took her to the vet, and he just suggested they give her some probiotics on her food.
Uh-huh.
But this last
and
week,
you're
she was sick for 2 weeks.
That's one way to do it. when she has the vomiting and diarrhea, it's just kind of like a one-time episode. Does it last for a few days?
Oh, no. It lasted like almost probably a good week, almost 2 weeks.
Okay. And do you know for a fact that there are no treats being presented or she's not getting into anything like the trash or anything like that?
No, she doesn't get into anything. She's really good. She doesn't get into anything. She's on the same food she's, you know, been on since she was a puppy or whatever. Like, you know, so they didn't know if maybe they needed to change her food now or...
Yeah, I mean, if she's been on an actual puppy food, those are real high protein for growth. And you're at 2 years now. I would get to a maintenance food, an adult food, that's in the same food line. So if it's one brand or another, whether it's Hills or Purina or whatever you have, stay within the same line but move up to an adult form. Because I think what's happening is that bowel is just not able to handle all that rich protein that comes in the meal.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay. So this
work it slowly. Get a do a couple of weeks of whatever new food you're going to try. Mix it in with your present food and wean away the old food for the new food. And if that continues to be a problem, then you're going to want to go to your veterinarian and talk to him about irritable bowel disease or a sensitivity in the bowel, sort of like Crohn's or colitis in humans. And some dogs can develop that depending on the food that they're on. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Alrighty,
okay.
Well, thank you very
I think
much.
You'll be okay. Let us know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Roxanne. Okay. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Debbie, your chick magnet doc. Debbie, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I have a Yorkie question. I had two of them a couple years back. I had to put one down, and after that, the other one was just neurotic. She licks the floor constantly. She licks her toys. She would play with the ball until she's, like, exhausted and still wants you to keep playing with it, to the point where we had to take the balls away from her.
Okay. Mm. So you're looking for...
What's making her lick? I mean, I know allergies can do it, but she doesn't really lick herself. She's licking her little toys and the floor constantly.
Yeah. So she may be licking because of a term called pica, where they feel like they're missing something in their diet, maybe a mineral or something like that. It could also just be strictly a behavioral issue. And you could talk to your veterinarian about something like simple anti-anxiety medication and try that for a while. Or if you want to try at home, you could even try some Benadryl for a week or two. And your vet, again, can give you a specific dosing. But sometimes that'll just take the edge off of them when they act kind of edgy. But there are a whole lot of products that can be available that might be helpful for you.
Well, she's got a sensitive stomach, so she's on a prescription dog food already. I really think it's behavioral, so I think I will talk to him.
To modify the behavior, we're talking about using some kind of drugs that might help change that and relax her a little bit, and then maybe she won't be so interested in licking at stuff, okay?
Okay, great.
Yeah, give it a try. Talk to you.
Thank you, Debbie. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
See how they might guide you through that.
I will. Thank you, Dr. Dodd.
Okay. Bye, Debbie.
Bye-bye, Debbie. All right, line is open. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. You need to call right now because we do have a couple lines open. I'm starting to think about something. Do you think this equipment thing, you think this is sabotage and I'm hacked like by another station?
Well, I thought it was Tim, but he's already here today, so it's not him.
Why would you think that about me?
Last time when you weren't here, a couple of things went wrong, buddy. Just saying, you know, just throwing it out there. But you're here today, so it's not you. Yeah. The only person I can think of is Bill Cleveland. He's annoying like that.
I see it's jealous competition.
You could be right. I do have a question from a texter over the text line, if I may ask you. Do German Shepherds get ear infections periodically throughout their entire life? Apparently a listener's dog infection always keeps coming back. How can they fight that?
Okay, this is always a tough one. because ears can get disrupted, and the normal lining that Mother Nature created for us might get irritated one, two, three times, and what was normal layer of skin inside that ear canal may now be less normal, and it's more prone to get reinfected. So there are a whole bunch of new products out there, and what we're, where we used to get in and wash that ear all the time, now your veterinarian may have one or two different types of products. He only has to do one time every 2 to 3 weeks, if that often. And you often don't have to follow up with cleaning at home, because cleaning at home can be good and bad. Flushing that ear can create some problems. Our own dog had a ruptured ear canal. It started to show like just a general ear infection. I started treating it traditionally with some antibiotic ointment, and I actually created more problems. So have your veterinarian look, take a good look inside there and ask them about one of these longer-term treatment protocols where you don't have to do a lot of wash, okay? But, yes, the answer to your question is once you have ear issues like that, it can be that your dog is going to have chronic ear infections for a long time. The one advantage to these guys, if you can manage them correctly, they usually have a big open ear canal, whereas a lot of dogs where their ears flap over, that really predisposes them to reinfection and re-irritation. Does that make sense?
A little bit.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, hopefully right. It helps them.
Thank you, Doctor. Once again, the ladies continue to love you, and here's proof. Sharon, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, how are you, Sharon?
I'm doing great. How are you? I know you said. Okay, you're doing great. Hi, babe, in the PM.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. So I just bought some property off of the Black River, and it's rural, and I've got three dogs. And I'm worried about snakes and, you know, what I can do, because my vet's going to be at least 30 to 45 minutes away.
Okay.
Is there anything I can do preventatively, and what could I do, you know, if something should happen?
Can I come in here and take a guess at something, Doctor? I'm going to guess that snake bites on dogs are pretty rare. Is that true?
You know, out in the country, we do hear a few calls a year in the summer, and I think the emergency clinic actually, they hear quite a few calls. Whether they're all true or not, we don't know. So here's the thing. There's no way to prevent three healthy dogs running around out around the Black River from coming across something, possibly. But the fact that they're all moving together, it's very typical that snakes move away from that kind of movement. Now, God forbid... Hello?
Yeah, she's there.
Yeah, yes. God forbid if your dog does get bit. A couple things to note. I think it's... I don't know if I've ever heard of a dog that actually died from a snake bite. They seem to be more resistant. They do get swelling. You could put ice on it immediately. Make sure you don't see any fangs that are get ripped out of the snake. And then put the ice on it and get it to a city where they have an emergency clinic. And many of those people will treat you with some antibiotics and steroids. I don't know if I've ever heard a case where you had to do an antivenom in a snake.
Well, see, I lost a dog, but I was in Florida, and I lost a dog. And that's why I'm concerned, because I didn't even know it. It was a rattler. And, she died. Well, and that's why now I
don't know. Yeah, those are Eastern Diamondbacks. If you had a rattlesnake bite there, that's the most common. And that would be a very, very toxic and large snake with a lot of venom. But the copperheads here just aren't that toxic. And they're less likely to run across a water moccasin unless they're swimming all the time, and they run right into one. So there are some rattlesnake species, timber rattlesnakes around here. They're much smaller. And you also need to note that the venom is not always ejected with a bite. The venom is actually designed as a mechanism for snakes to kill their prey to eat. So it happens to have a protective value as well, but the bite itself has a big protective value. So a lot of times they'll bite at something or strike at something, and they don't release all their venom or any at all. So they can have a false bite. So I'd say just be responsible and watch them. If they come back limping or have a swelling, get it iced on real quickly, and you're going to have to differentiate a bite from a physical injury, like a fracture or a strain or something like that. But you're best to find a local veterinarian in one of the cities that can at least take a look. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Love your show. Right.
Thank you, Cher. Hey, I never knew that a rattlesnake could mm-hmm. bite you and decide, nah, I'm not going to shoot any venom in this guy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, not all, not just rattlesnakes. Any snake, any poisonous snake can do that. And, you know, as I said, usually when they bite something, they lose a fang, and there's a whole series of fangs that are coming up in synchrony right after the other smaller ones. And it's traumatic to them to do that. So it's not something they want to always do. They're just going to do it if you're about to step on them or you get within that limited space that they feel fearful.
Wow. Last summer, my daughter, we were at the lake, and it was early in the evening, and she just stopped. And this, I told the story when it happened. To my amazement, she didn't scream. She didn't run. She just stopped and looked down, and she said, Dad, I think that's a snake. And 3 inches from her flip-flop foot that wasn't protected was a coiled-up copperhead. Uh-huh. And it was just lying there. And she uh-huh. said, I said, don't move. I said, that's a copperhead. I mean, I knew what it was. And I was able to grab it behind the head, pick it up, and sure enough, I opened its mouth. There were the fangs. Yeah. It was a copperhead.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only time in all the years that we've been going to the lake or going out wherever. We live in the woods. That's the only time. And I've been living in the woods for 33 years. I've never even come that close to one as we did last summer. But I had heard the same thing, that it's not necessarily.
I was going to say, I live by Rockford Reservations, and I usually catch one timber rattlesnake once every 2 or 3 years.
And do you know that in the 33 years I've lived in the woods, I have never seen a rattlesnake. They don't tend to go, do they, in heavily wooded areas? They need the rocks and some other stuff to hide under.
I think your area is a little bit lower than their preference. They like higher ground, higher mountains with a lot of shelf rock and stuff like that, like you're describing. But, yeah, they can be there. It's just not as frequent.
Okay, let's get Dave in here. Dave, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Doug. Dr. Doug, how are you?
Hey, good, Dave. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. I got a question about Frenchies. We're thinking about getting one, or my wife wants one, and all we want the dog for is just a companion. We don't care about papers or anything like that, but will that... Will there be a difference in the quality of dog, you know, versus just a plain old, just a fun dog to have versus one that has papers? And what are some of the things that we need to look for in Frenchies? Because we've been trying to do our research, and we know that they have breathing problems with their nose and all that, and there's a possibility of surgeries and things like that. But all we want is just a fun little dog to have. We like to have a purebred, but we really don't care if it has papers or anything. We're not going to breed it or anything like that.
Are Frenchies big dogs or little? Like
they get up 20 to 30 pounds is a normal range for show dogs, but they can get a little bit bigger in the 30s. You know, here's the deal. If you want it to look like a classic Frenchie, then
what is a Frenchie? Is this a bulldog?
French bulldog.
Yeah. The French Bulldog. I have four of them. Okay. So I love this breed for the very reasons you're looking. They are the best little companions in the world. They're smart. They're people-oriented. They tend to be pretty friendly. Occasionally you get one individual that doesn't like other dogs. But anyway, so I always go...
Anyway.
In any way that you're going to explore a puppy, then you want to just take a list of questions. You know, what kind of medical problems have you had, and the adult dogs, the parents, you know, and you go through the list. And then the other thing I always ask for the number of the veterinarian and the name, and have your veterinarian call them and just say, hey, is this a legitimate breeder? Does she produce good animals? Da, 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 da. That's really important. Now, as a general rule, I have noticed in my own experience, if I buy a Frenchie anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500, let's say, I'm not going to get the perfect Frenchie. If I buy one around $2,000 up, then I'm going to get a really good animal. And then if you want a super animal that just really looks like the classic Frenchie breed with a little box face and stuff, you might have to be paying more over $3,500, $4,000.
Whoa.
And I know people that have paid up to $8,000 for these dogs. So, so I think they're a good dog. I think, again, you just need to check out the nose. Depending on the age of the dog, it's going to be hard to tell if you're going to need any procedures. But that whole airway thing includes other issues inside the mouth that you can't see readily at a young puppy age. And they also tend to have some skin problems, so they might need a sensitive diet for them. But other than that, I just love the heck out of them. I think they're amazing.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for listening. Alrighty. We appreciate it. Apparently, Dr. Doug's having his own technical issues with his cell phone there for a minute. But it sounds good now, so don't move. Okay. Stay where you are. Tom is now, line is open, by the way, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Tom, you're next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Oh, well, hello, Dr. Doug.
Hello, Tom.
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Dr. Doug, I'm just curious about something. I'm not trying to be funny or anything. It's an honest question, but if a fellow was working at the ape house at the zoo and had too much to drink and fornicated with a gorilla, could they have offspring?
No.
Different genetic. Okay, well, listen, that answers my question, Dr. Doug. Thanks a lot. AM to PM.
Wait a minute, let me ask
you. No, he's gone. He's not gone. There he is. Go ahead.
Yes,
I was just going to, should we alert the ape house that you're coming to visit?
Dr. Doug, I'll tell you what, that's personal information, and I don't go for any monkey business. So, okay.
There's a dating, dating website for guys like you. It's hotapes.com.
Oh, man.
Check them out.
Actually, thank you, Tom. Actually, there is a joke, a really good joke about that. And I haven't told it for a while, so I'll bring it back in a month or two.
Well,
no, not today. But it's a really funny joke about a guy who goes to the zoo and finds that the female gorilla shows an attraction to him on the other side of the glass. That's all I'm going to tell you. You'll have to wait till I tell it on the air.
Oh,
yeah, you can.
God.
Yes, I can. I'm scared to death the equipment's going to crap out again in the middle of the joke, so we'll have to wait till later to hear it.
Okay.
Was that, did we talk to Tom? Or
yeah,
that
was
it.
That
was Tom. That was Tom.
Tom was the.
All right, we have a line open. If we don't get another call in 30 seconds, we'll wrap this up. 855-282-8255. Tom was the gorilla lover. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or 314-821-0590. Actually, you know what? That's a weird, sick kind of question, but it's really not, because that's the closest animal to us. I mean, if you've ever been around chimps or any kind of gorillas, it's bizarre.
What about sheep?
I got a fun fact for you.
The chimps are not the gorillas. The chimps are really close genetically. So, and you know what? As sick as it sounds, it wouldn't surprise me if that hasn't happened in the
history. Oh, the Russians tried it. Not going to lie, back in World War II, I'm not kidding.
They got a guy to do it with a monkey?
Well, no, they didn't do it that way, but they got, like, eggs from, one, either the or like a gorilla or a human, and then basically they got the
artificial
sperm. Yeah, the artificial insemination and whatnot, and they tried to build.
It didn't take.
No, of course not, but they tried to create, like, a super soldier that would be easily controlled and whatnot, and they tried using, like, ape and simian DNA to mix with a human. And
I'm with Dr. Doug, though. Somewhere in the jungle, some tribal person has tried to do it with an ape. You know they have. You know they have.
I was thinking not in the jungle, but some crazy pet house or something, you know,
Look, if weirdos have done it with horses, and they have, all right,
they have,
and other cattle, you know that somewhere that has happened. But enough of that. Heather is here. Heather, welcome to 590 The Fan. I'm sorry you had to get in on the ape conversation. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
By the way, I'm AM and the PM.
That's good to know. Thank you.
First time caller.
Thank you.
I knew. Man, I just got a new puppy, and she came from an Amish farm. Their neighbors were selling them for these Amish people, and she is supposedly a blue heeler mixed with German Shepherd, but she's, four of the puppies looked like little Rottweilers to me. One of them was kind of grayish, and then the one I have was the runt, and she's white with kind of red speckles on her head and on her legs. Anyway, the problem about... with her so far has been she's really smart and everything, but she bites. Like, I cannot break her from... Like, she seems like she's just trying to play. She gets too excited, but she's fighting all the time.
Yes.
How can I stop her from...
How old is she now, did you say, approximately?
She's about 9 weeks old.
Yeah, pull her all
the teeth out. I think you still have a good opportunity to get her out of that. And there's a number of different ways, and again, not being a formal trainer, but what I would often do when they start biting, I kind of, while they're young and small, I take them from that moment, and I either put them down on their side to take, you have to take dominance over them, okay? Or if it's a small dog, you can pick it up and disrupt that line of behavior and just, you know, put them on their back like a baby. You're holding your arms and say, no bite. You don't have to slap them. You don't have to squeeze their cheeks. You don't do any of that. You just have to jump on it right there and displace that active behavior with something else and talk to them. And I think if you can do that regularly, that you have a good chance of kicking that behavior. Because once it's established, it's a bugger to try and get rid of.
A bugger.
Yeah, I've kind of tried to do that, but even picking her up, she'll, like, lunge at you. I mean, she's really kind of a vicious little thing for being
young. Got that kind of, if you got that kind of attitude, you really need to get to a good trainer and nip it in the bud. Okay?
Nip it. All right, well,
in the bud.
Thank you very much. It was nice.
Thank you, Heather. Dan, you remember when you... Dan, you remember when you used to have Don Knotts' cell phone number?
Yes.
And you used to call him, and he would say, nip it in the butt.
Yeah,
and then he died.
Yeah, he died, yeah.
You used to have recordings of him saying that, and you lost all your recordings.
Yeah, I know. Horrible.
Terrible.
Did you really have, you had the real guy?
Yeah. Seriously, we had him on the show one time before he died. Wow. Like one of the worst guests we've ever had.
Very boring.
Don Knotts, the great Barney Fife. Horrible, boring guest.
I was excited to have him on, too.
Because Dan, this is interesting. Dan used to do a perfect impression of Barney Fife, and for whatever reason, he lost
it. I completely lost it.
Just say anything. Hey, Angie.
Nip it in the bud. I can't
It doesn't even sound anything like him.
No.
You used to sound exactly like him, and we don't know what happened.
Lost my falsetto.
Puberty. His voice changed.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank.
Well, we're out of time here. Doc, thank you so much. Let's do this again. What do you think? Next Wednesday? Does that sound okay?
Yeah, let's do that. Be well,
everybody. Let's do it. Thank you, Doc. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody, your pet's best friend, the official veterinarian of the large morning show in the afternoon, brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. We have about half a minute here before we roll into the news, followed by the Playhouse, followed by a joke. Sorry about that little glitch earlier. One of these days, I will be able to explain with you why, from time to time, I'm not there. I wish that guy would call, that weirdo that calls, and he could tell everybody the truth, that I'm at home in bed. That's where I always do the show. I wish he would call and explain
that. Was that Sebastian, or John, or Greg?
Or Josh, or whatever fake name he wants to use. Yeah, he can explain it better than I can. So here we go, working our way to the Playhouse. Cross your fingers, hope nothing drops out in the middle of the joke. That would be terrible, because you'll never hear that joke again. Oh, wait, yeah, you will, like every year. You hear the same jokes over and over. So Tim Woodburn's up after the national news with local news, followed by the Playhouse, including Bill Clevelin, and wrapped up by Mike Evans, because it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump is considering holding a news conference after the release of the redacted Mueller report tomorrow. Speaking today on WMAL Radio, Trump said Attorney General William Barr will hold a press conference on the Mueller report tomorrow. Trump said, maybe I'll do one after that. Justice Department officials confirmed that Barr will brief the public at 9:30 tomorrow morning Eastern Time. The FBI is providing some more details about the teen infatuated with the Columbine shooting who died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
This Sol Pais traveled from Miami to Denver, and soon after...